This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
Columbia and its eventual competitor BMG made it known how much money they made doing this 11 for a penny and all of that.
Yeah.
$1.5 billion.
Are you serious?
I kid you not. They made $1.5 billion in the year 2000 running this service.
But in 2000?
Class is in.
Anybody gone out of their way to check their retirement today? I understand that everybody's retirement's doing well lately. What do you think? How about you? Have you checked yours?
I'm 31.
Yeah, so your retirement's doing well? So it's only gone down about what, about 100%?
I don't know.
I checked it the other day, and I think moths actually flew right out of my computer screen. This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Let's talk about a new topic today, and I want to pitch something as well. We have in the studio with us today, he's going to talk with us a little more depth at the first break. We have James Hines in the studio. He is with the Voodoo Blues Crew.
Where's
and
James?
The New Orleans Blues Society,
hey.
Sitting right over there.
Hey, James.
Real quickly, you are going to talk to us about great blues music and a competition that the Voodoo Blues Crew is and the New Orleans Blues Society is sponsoring and pitching. Real quickly, tell everybody, we're going to talk more about it
sure.
post break.
Sure.
Where can people get on the computorial device and find out all this information?
What you want to do, you want to go to www.voodoobluescrew.com, and that's crew spelled K-R-E-W-E like it's supposed
to be. Like it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Right.
And if anybody needs a reason for the blues, now all you got to do is look at your 201K, right?
Isn't that too? That's terrible. Yeah. I found earlier today, if you had purchased X stock, you get this much money. X stock, you get this much money. X stock, you get this much money. Had you purchased something like 25 cases of beer, the tin would have been worth
the refund
more money.
On the aluminum, sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to invest in beer from this point on.
Well, I've been doing that for years.
Good for you. We're going to talk about that more at the first break, but let's talk about the topic we're going to hit on this show. Do you remember Columbia House music?
Columbia House.
Do you remember that? You'd get, I think, 11 CDs.
Or a penny.
Right. And then later on, you would buy 5 at regular club price.
Oh, yeah,
you remember
yeah.
that? Do you ever scam them? Did you ever attempt to scam them? Did you ever scam them?
Did you mean try? Did I scam them?
Yeah, did you scam them?
How would I scam them?
Send them a penny and let them send you music and then don't buy anymore.
That's right. You try to do that kind of thing?
No, that's just wrong. I'm not like that.
I'm going to call your mother and tell her about her
little
angel.
Don't call my mom.
Now, I did some research into Columbia House and found some great research on the web about how Columbia House worked. How did they make their money? How did the system work? And it's a neat little story about this little window into music and how in the world they could sell you 8, 10, 11 CDs, cassettes, and they used to do reel-to-reel and 8-tracks for a penny. And then how did they make their money? Something called negative option billing. Interestingly enough. So for an hour today on Rock School, we're going to talk about how Columbia House actually worked. Now, you got to have a playlist. On a website I like called Mental Floss, it's all just trivia and weird stuff. They asked people, what were your first 8 that you got for a penny? And you're going to hear that it's a lot from the 1980s because that's when Columbia House was really big. And people listed, well, these were the first 8 that I got. So I went in there and I grabbed songs from their picks, their 1980s picks.
Is this that stuff that looked like one giant booklet of stamps?
Yes.
Oh, I remember the booklet.
I remember the booklet of stamps. A lot of people said they grabbed a lot of greatest hits stuff. And one that kept coming up was Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Greatest Hits. And from that CD, here's Lucretia McEvil, one of my favorites, right here, Rock School.
Lucretia McEvil, little girl, what's your game? Hard
Talking about Columbia House, ladies and gentlemen, and how they actually work. Now, I said they made their money in what's known as a negative option billing. This concept, I'll give you 11 for a penny, 8 for a penny if you buy X number at regular club price, which was heavy.
That's a bargain.
$16. Now, $16, that's nothing. Well, today it's nothing. You got to remember, we're back in the 1980s. Yeah. Now, you said you've worked with negative option billing. What is it?
I get it offered all the time. It's basically they give you either complimentary, I get it with magazines all the time.
Yeah.
They give you complimentary issues, six complimentary issues, and then they'll continue sending you the issues.
Unless?
Invoicing you with them unless you specify that you want to cancel.
You got it.
It requires action on your part.
Right. Now, negative option billing is actually illegal all over the place, including Canada and parts of other countries.
Why bring in Canada?
Well, because when I did the research, it specifically stated it's illegal in Canada.
Leave those Canucks alone.
My apologies. It is legal, however, in the U.S. as long as these FTC rules are met, Federal Trade Commission rules are met. Minimum purchase requirements must be clearly stated, i.e., buy 11, and then you got to buy 5 more, 6 more, however many at regular club price within 3 years or what have you.
Yeah.
Shipping cancellation procedures were clearly stated. Remember when you did this, every month you had to either buy something or send back a little sheet of paper that said, no, thank you, I don't want to do this? Okay, well, that has to be done. Three, the frequency members must reject shipments, i.e., I had to do it monthly. Is it the same with you? Was it monthly for every time you did it? And then and eventually, how to cancel the membership altogether. If you bought all of them, do you remember once you made your purchase, I bought all six of them, you still had to cancel or they would continue to send you this stuff. So you had to meet those four things. And once you met those four things, Columbia House was allowed to do negative option billing. Can you make money doing this? Yes. Believe it or not, in the year 2000, Columbia and its eventual competitor, BMG, made it known how much money they made doing this 11 for a penny and all of that.
Yeah.
$1.5 billion.
Are you serious?
I kid you not. They made $1.5 billion in the year 2000 running this service.
But see, in 2000?
Yes. But you can make money doing
this.
But
wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Okay, so in the 80s, I don't imagine too many credit card sales were, you know, credit cards weren't booming like they are today. So
I sent cash.
They probably just simply sent you an invoice.
You got it.
So they made money off of people that were dumb enough to pay them.
Well, I'm going to tell you how I actually played
was
the
that
system.
A confession, Mike?
Yeah. No. I'm just saying no. I'm like, if I get this invoice, I'm not paying it. I never agreed to this.
I'm going to tell you how I played the system in just a moment. But here's another one that people stated was one of their first eight. Here's the Talking Heads from the album Little Creatures. Let's go Road to Nowhere. Rock School. Columbia House on Rock School here as we talk about how it all works. Now, you say you got all your first Aerosmith albums from Columbia House.
Yeah, that was my mom's Christmas gift method.
What, so she would like, give you the 11 and you have to pick the freebies?
Here's a booklet and I'll get you all the music that you want. Just pick what you want. I got REM, I got Aerosmith, I got Pearl Jam,
and
I got all that stuff.
She got them all for a penny, huh?
Yeah.
And my brother was the one choosing all the music, so we got Bachman Turner Overdrive and Queen and
didn't
good
you hate
stuff.
The ones that counted as two? I hated the ones that counted as two. I always tried it. You know, I would put it in one of those little things where you had to either put the sticker or you had to write the six-digit number down there. I always hated the ones that counted as two. Now, my wife and I used to do disc jockey work outside of when I was actual radio disc jockey. We would go out and do dances and we would do weddings and such. We played Columbia House, and I thought we played them correctly. We would do 11 free. We would do it. And then immediately upon gaining the 11 that arrived, we would, whatever we had to do, buy five or what have you, we'd buy them.
Okay.
We'd pay for them and then cancel the membership. Right off the bat, send in the money for the five, buy the five, because when you bought them, it would always be like, you know, buy your first one now, we'll give you another one at what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting five, we'd always get six or seven.
Right.
And then we'd cancel the membership.
You don't have the option to cancel them.
We'd pay for it. We'd pay for the five that we were required to buy. Then we'd cancel the membership. And the first thing they would do is say, we want you back. take another 11. So what we would do is get people we trusted, like my mother, her sister, my friend down the block, we would say to them, would you sign up for this? And in exchange for the 11, we'll give you like two or three choices out of it. They would get the stuff. They'd take their two or three choices. And as soon as it arrived, we would pick five, send in the money. And the moment we sent in the money, we'd cancel it. Okay, we've met your requirements. We're done. And they would say, take another 11. And then we'd give them two or three out of it. We must have had seven or eight people doing
working
this.
The system.
We did. So it was all legal.
I'm guessing per the agreement, you didn't have the option to cancel after you got your 11 for the penny.
No,
you had to buy the five.
No, you had to buy.
We're gonna talk about how they actually made money here in a little bit. Because Columbia House had to make money. If this wasn't a profitable business, what was the point?
If you wouldn't have figured out the system, they'd have made $1.3 billion in 2000.
Right. So no, you would cancel. Their money off of me.
So you'd buy your required five, and then you'd cancel, and then you'd bring in somebody else so you could get all this music.
Oh, we'd actually have four or five people going at the same time.
Are you peddling rainbow vacuum cleaners here or
yes,
something?
Sir.
Why
yes,
are you
sir.
Trying to manipulate the system, man? Yeah. It's because of people like you. My retirement is going
slappy
down the crap.
I'm the kid on the schoolyard, man. First one. Free, the
I'm
next
the
one
guy
costs.
That can get you stuff.
I'm not saying
marbles,
I'm
marbles,
but I know
right.
a guy.
Right.
Here's another one people said they got as their first A. David Bowie. Changes Bowie or the Let's Dance CD. So let's play one that might have been on both. Here is Let's Dance on Rock School. All right, this is Rock School. Let's talk for a short while here with James Hines. He came into the studio to talk to us today. We'll take a short break from Columbia House. He came to talk to us about the Voodoo Blues Crew, spelled correctly, and the New Orleans Blues Society. James, thanks for coming in. Tell us.
Hey, Joe, thanks for having us.
First of all, before we get into all the listing of names and such, people want to be able to find this stuff quickly. Where on the computorial device can we find it?
Two great places to find us, voodoobluescrew.com and also on Facebook at Voodoo Blues Crew New Orleans Blues Society. We got a fan page there.
Okay. Make sure you spell crew correctly.
K-R-E-W-E like it's supposed to be.
That's right. Now, what do we got going on? What's the purpose of this crew? What do we do? Why should anyone care about
this? Well, that's a great question. What we do is we work to promote, preserve, and support blues music and blues musicians. And we've been doing that since 2007. Every year, our big event is we hold a competition to select a band and a solo duo artist from the Southeast Louisiana area to represent the New Orleans Blues Society at the International Blues Challenge in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, and you're underway with that right now.
Yeah, actually, our first event comes up August 19th. That's the Solo Duo Challenge at Chicky Wawa. It's a great room in New Orleans. Will Wesley, Big Daddy O, and Keenan, Bayou Blue, Wes Lee, Michael Pierce, and Kenny Acosta will be performing
there. Cousin Michael will be there. Okay.
Yeah,
we ought to take that competition hands down. I mean, ain't nobody got better blues music than New Orleans.
It's good stuff, man. And August 27th will be the first prelim of the bands. We got Troy Turner in Third Gear, John Lisi in Delta Funk. We've got A Beat of Blues, Nomad, Blues Frenzy, and Cypress will be performing at Big Al's Saloon and Blues Club in Harvey on the West Bank Expressway.
Okay.
Then September 10th, we've got Tonio and Blue Haze, J.D. Hill and the Jammers, Major Bacon, Ed Wills and Blues for Sale, and Connie G. all performing at the corner of Magazine and St. Joseph's at McGuire's Pub.
So lots and lots of good music and great blues, and when you come out... people are going to be able to help pick who's going to represent the area in Memphis.
Absolutely. You come out and you cheer for your favorite band, and we have professional judges that are going to be there. And on
semi-professional.
Don't talk yourself down like that, man. We got Joe is going to be coming and being a judge for us on September 24th at World Famous Rock and Bowl, where we get picked two bands from the two preliminaries, and they perform at Rock and Bowl to find out who's going to Memphis.
That's great. And it's also my anniversary.
How you talk your wife into that, I don't know. She loves music. There you go.
She can't wait to go. No, you promised
I'm
going to
dance with her.
I hope so, because I can't dance worth a spit. So just make sure that you said there'd be flowers on the table, and she saw that.
No problem. We're going to be, again, find information at voodoobluescrew.com and Voodoo Blues Crew New Orleans Blues Society on Facebook.
I can tell you, the Facebook You keep it very active.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of updates on it. So if you're at all interested in this and you're on Facebook, that's really the way to go.
And if you love rock and roll, you got to love the soul of rock and roll, which is blues.
That's right. And what is it? The blues had a baby.
Blues had a baby.
They call it rock and roll. From the great Muddy Waters. Okay. We got to take a break. By all means, go and see the people at the Blues Crew. And James, thank you for coming in and let us know all about it.
Thank you.
We got to take a break. Back in a minute. Rock School. All right, back to the concept of Columbia House. If you're going to give away 11 for a penny and then sell only 5 at $16, you as Columbia House better have it so that this stuff doesn't cost you very much money.
Did you just say 11 for a penny and then 5 for $16?
Right.
That comes out to a dollar per disc.
Not very much. So if you're going to sell this stuff that cheaply, you better produce it very cheaply. So obviously Columbia House was buying all of this music from the record companies, right?
I'm guessing wrong. I was right.
There's multiple levels of how they kept their costs down. I'll tell you one real quick so we can get to the bottom of the hour. Columbia House never signed any distribution licenses with the music companies.
Why?
This is what they did. What they just started doing was they created this thing, this Columbia House, and then rather than signing distribution deals, just began sending the companies, the houses, checks for 75% of standard royalty rates. They didn't say we're going to do this. They didn't do any of that. They just said, okay, here's a check for 75% of the standard royalties. The music companies then did something rather dumb. They cashed the checks.
Oh.
If you have any legal background, which I don't, which is why I read this online, assuming that it's correct, by cashing the checks, Columbia House was able to state that it was a legally implied license. So by cashing the checks, the companies basically stated, okay, we'll take 75% of the regular royalty rate from you. Was it legal? Yes and no. If any of the record companies complained, Columbia House basically said, okay, we're sorry, we'll stop carrying your music. And all of a sudden, the record company saw a dip of 10 to 15% in their sales and went, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay.
So they didn't give the money back.
Well, they didn't give it. They took it at 75%.
I don't like it when that happens either.
I don't like it either.
Here's $2,600. By cashing this check, you thereby agree to a loan.
Yes.
That's dirty.
But yet, it worked, and that's how Columbia House was able to save 25% off royalties right off the pop. And there's more ways they saved money. We'll get to it in just a second.
It reminds me of those guys in Old School, where he says, like, you know, as incompetent as they seem, they're really good at paperwork.
That's right. And that's apparently how they saved a little bit of money.
They had some smart cookies over there.
This CD apparently was one that everybody bought. Dookie. By Green Day.
I bought it.
Yeah, me too. Basket case. Rock School.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? I am one of those melodramatic fools.
Hi, bottom of the hour. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad Pete.
Let us take a break from Columbia House. Remember, third time's the charm. We'll do 7 days and 70 seconds, Monday, August 8th through Sunday, August 14th. Let's see if we get it right this time. Chad has Monday go.
August 8th in 1964, the new single released by the Young World Singers. It was called Ringo for President. What did Ringo Starr think about it? Well, he said, I don't believe I'll have the time.
It's a fantastic Liverpudlian accent.
I practiced it last
very
night.
Very sounded Irish. Tuesday, August 8th, 25 years ago, rock band Queen performs their last live show with Freddie Mercury at Nebworth Park in England. They end the set with We Are the Champions, and as always, Freddie Mercury puts on the cape and the crown, and they performed God Save the Queen.
And it was a sad day for the rest of the world.
August 10th in 1970, the state of Florida versus Jim Morrison court case began. What happened was Jim got caught literally with his pants down on stage in Miami 17 months prior. You weren't there, you don't know.
Maybe. Thursday, August 11th, 45 years ago, the Beatles arrive at Chicago's O'Hare Airport to begin their final live tour.
August 12th, in 1967, Fleetwood Mac made their stage debut at the UK National Blues and Jazz Festival. Yay. Also on that bill are Cream, Small Faces, 10 Years After, Donovan and Pink Floyd, and in 1997, MTV debuted the Fleetwood Mac reunion concert.
There you go. They debuted and then reunionized.
And did unplugged.
Yeah. Saturday, August 13th, 15 years ago, the band 311 plays at the Choose or Lose benefit concert just outside the Republican National Convention in San Diego, California, attempting to get youth interested in politics. Sunday, August 14th, to wrap it up, 1989, Bon Jovi's New Jersey becomes the first rock record legally released in the USSR.
Now,
there's
see,
a nice piece of trivia.
Going back to that Choose or Lose,
yeah,
that's a doable political campaign for youth. Not this vote or die BS.
Vote or die.
Well, oh, that was such hogwash.
We're looking forward to the next one coming up because we've gone from choose or lose to vote or die, and next year we've got another presidential election coming up. What will be the next one?
I don't know.
Vote or jump off a cliff. One of the two.
Choose the blues and die.
Why not? We got one here from Blues Traveler. A lot of people stated that when they got their 11 records free, they chose the album 4, which was a monster for Blues Traveler. My favorite song off that album is called Fallible. It sounds like this, Rock School.
Now, how come we had to play your favorite cut from that album?
Because I'm the person who brings the music.
No, I produced the show.
What? Did you bring any music?
Well, no, but that's irrelevant.
What would you have played?
Hook.
Hook? Okay. I thought about bringing Runaround as well because it was the big hits, but I like Fallible.
But I like Hook.
It shows off the man's ability on the harmonica.
So does Hook.
On his Honer 20s. I think he does real well.
It is.
They're Honer 20s.
It's great, great sounding harmonica.
I've purchased. He knows more than
us. I know Gary Allegretto. Yeah.
So stop.
Have you seen Popper lately?
Oh, he's lost almost every piece of weight that he had. He had the surgery. So.
Yep.
Let's talk about more of how the people at Columbia House kept their costs down. Number one, they were only paying 75% of the standard royalties. Better yet, you would think that they would purchase the music from the recording houses.
Uh-huh.
They didn't. What they did was purchase copies of the master tapes and the master discs from the music houses and then paid to print and re-record the music themselves.
There had to be some kind of catch in there, dude, because you can't just jump on eBay and search master tapes of, you know, Aerosmith or whatever.
Got to remember,
those things are impossible to get.
Well, this is long before downloading and things like that.
No, I realize.
They were able to purchase copies of the masters. I don't know if you remember this or not, but if you bought from Columbia House, there were some hit and miss whether you were getting good recordings. You would sometimes get stuff that would have no highs.
Yeah, it wasn't the finished studio stuff. No.
Yeah, it would sound like something your buddy would give you that he recorded off the radio. It's kind of like sounding. You remember the K-Tel records?
A little raw sounding.
So it's kind of like getting a bootleg DVD.
Well, yeah. In fact, DVDs is where Columbia House is right now. The music side of it is gone. They've gone into DVDs completely. But yeah, you didn't get stuff directly from, like if you bought a Chrysalis record off of Columbia House, you received a copy made by Columbia House, which is how they kept their costs down.
That's probably one of the reasons why they got so many complaints.
Yeah, entirely
to
possible.
The point to where last year they have a failed category with the Better Business Bureau.
That's true. That's true. Mm. They actually stopped, I think, in 2004? When did they stop doing it? 2005.
Mm.
You're a few years late if you want to buy from Columbia House. You can't do it anymore. You do DVDs, but you can't do music.
They don't have a website?
They do.
They never responded to any of the customer complaints, so the Better Business Bureau categorized them in a failed category.
Right. They're gone completely.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play one from a rock record that everybody picked up. This is Motley Crue's Greatest Hits. This is Wild Side. Rock School.
Rude.
did they make money? According to the book, The Record Industry by Jeff Hull, he breaks down how Columbia House made money this way. It cost Columbia House $1.50 to send one of those free discs, mm-hmm. as in the concept of give us a penny and we'll send you 11 discs. Right, to send discs, right. A full price disc cost the company $3.20 to send.
Okay.
A club price disc was about $16.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you extrapolate all of that out, the concept of, thank you very much. I got a word of the day calendar. Tomorrow it's going to be another large word.
Spumoni.
If you extrapolate all of that out, Columbia House made approximately, and that's according to Jeff Hull, approximately $7.20 on each disc compared to $6.25. Now, these are averages at a retail store. So you can see they're making approximately 95 cents more per disc than a retail store.
Yeah.
So even with all of that advertising, all of those mailings, all of that kind of stuff. And they didn't do what happens today. You get those things in the mail for magazines and such, and they pay the shipping, or they pay the postage.
Sure.
Columbia House never did that.
Who was paying the postage?
We did. Had that little thing up in the corner that said, thank you for your stamp.
Oh.
Yeah, you had to put a stamp on there. So when you did that, they didn't even pick up the postage. So we're talking almost a 95 cent, almost a dollar more per disc by this 75% under standard royalty and the concept of printing their own stuff.
Yeah.
They made almost a dollar more per disc. So you can see how much more profitable it was than having
brick
stores.
And mortar.
Right. Brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. So, they kind of showed what it was like. I hate to compare it to a website, but you didn't have electricity, employees, that kind of thing.
But in the end, with the advent of internet and so-called free music, they weren't even immune to arithmetic.
Sure, they absolutely killed them. So that's how much money it made, according to the book, The Record Industry. We got to say hello to all of our affiliates. We missed it in the first break. So hello, KLSU on the campus of Louisiana State University, and up there in Burlington, Wisconsin, WBSD.
Hello, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for being part of the Rock School Radio Network. And also KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, where the Voodoo Blues Music Festival will be in 2017.
Thank you.
Yeah, we knew that.
I looked it up.
It's fantastic. Big website and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Back in a minute, Rock School. I asked earlier on in the show if either Chad or our guest here in the studio, James Hines, had actually tried to get around paying the money in Columbia House. Never did. I always just
honest,
pay the money.
Hardworking people.
No,
we
comment.
Don't try to scam the system.
Well, Joseph Parvin of Lawrenceville, New Jersey, was not. He decided to stick it to the music club. In March of 2000, 60-year-old Parvin admitted that he used 16 different post office boxes and his own home address. I think that's where he went wrong.
Cool.
Used his own home address. Yeah. It's like walking in to rob a bank. Hi, I'm Joe Burns. I'm here to rob the bank. Try not to use my real name. Guess how many discs he got during a 5-year span?
I'm going to say over 100.
How about 26,554?
Now, what are you going to do with all that music?
Apparently, he tried to go out to like flea markets and such and sell them. He pleaded guilty to a single count of mail fraud and paid a big fine. But
a single count of mail fraud?
That's all it says here.
26,000
mail fraud. That's all you get is mail fraud?
You know, I would kind of think to myself, if that's all I'm going to get, I'm going to take a shot at it.
I might want to do it.
Yeah, I might take a shot at it.
You get laughed at in jail. What are you in for?
What are you in for?
I scammed on Columbia House.
I took down the government. What'd you do?
You don't admit Columbia when you're in jail House. That you're mail fraud.
Right. It's like getting picked up for littering and causing a nuisance. This is rock and roll, because a lot of people stated they picked up Led Zeppelin 4, or what a lot of people like to call Sozo. Rock and roll. It's Zeppelin. Rock School.
Getting the lead out.
Last break on Rock School, and I really don't have a whole lot more information for you. We've told you all about Columbia House. Once again, can you still order from them? Nope, you're about 2 years too late. I think I said earlier that it was 2006. Not so. It was 2 years ago. The company merges up with BMG Music Group and quits selling music on June 30th, 2009. Apparently, digital music and downloads just isn't a silly fad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless you're wanting to build for your nostalgia collection, nobody gets CDs anymore.
So you merge with BMG Music Group and then stop doing music.
Right. Okay. Now they're doing DVDs. And it's only a matter of time before DVDs are now going to become downloadable things.
With the speed of the internet,
Yep, they're going to go to a 64-bit system, and it's going to go. One more time, in the studio with us, James Hines of the Voodoo Blues Crew.
Thanks for coming today, James.
Hey, no problem,
appreciate
guys.
We have zero time left, but please tell us one more time, where on the interweb can we find these places?
VoodooBluesCrew.com and on Facebook at Voodoo Blues Crew, New Orleans Blues Society. Remember, that's crew spelled K-R-E-W-E like it's supposed to be. Come out to our events and bring your mom and let's dance.
That's great. By all means... get hooked up. We want you to learn about all the blues music in the area and enjoy it, because live is so much better.
It's our roots, man.
It's our roots.
So much better than sticking the earbuds in your ears. We're going to end up on one that a lot of people said that they downloaded as their first 11. They either grabbed Look What the Cat Dragged In or Open Up and Say, Ah, This is Poison, Your Mama Don't Dance. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad B.
That does it. We'll see you next week. Class is dismissed.